coming up.
Star here with you with the Positive Mind. Just checking, seeing if you're still paying attention. Yes, it is the Positive Mind. And I'm here joined by Kevin O'Donohue, of course.
Hey, Ben.
And...
sounds like it, doesn't it?
Slightly. We want to throw a little flute curveball to our regular listeners out there. And I'm, of course, so as I mentioned, Kevin here in the studio and Nassima Diane Deemer, one of our most popular and in-demand guests here on the Positive Mind.
Hey, Nassima.
Welcome back, Nassima. Good to have you. So yesterday we had a very active, very, very action-packed show full of callers. We were talking about letting go here in 2017.
Yeah.
What are you letting go of this year? And many of you called in with some really great phone calls, great audience participation, which we love.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to some more calls today with a bit of a variation on that same question.
Yeah. But I was really inspired by the show yesterday, and it made me think of this
process. You remember
process.
One caller?
Yeah, I remember.
One in particular.
I remember one in particular, the woman who was holding on to a grudge with her boss.
For 3 years. Anna was our first caller to talk about hanging on to a grudge, and that now she's able to let go of.
Yeah, so, 3 years.
And talked about freedom. Wow. She mentioned the word freedom, I think. So she said that she opened up a little bit, and I think all the callers had that in common.
Yeah.
That letting go enabled them to feel free.
So, yesterday we asked our listeners what you're looking forward to let go of for 2017, what you're ready, what you're willing to let go of.
Yeah.
Today we're going to ask a similar question with a little bit of a twist. What are you afraid to let go of? What are you worried about letting go of? Right? What is it that stresses you out when you think about letting go?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's the next level of your letting go? You know, there must be levels. You know, there are things that you can let go of that you know you're ready to let go of, and then there are things that are right outside your awareness that is a big leap to let go of, and that's where all the fear is. So at the edge of your mind, we want to talk about today, what are you afraid of letting go? What is nagging you a little bit to let go of, but you're not ready to look at it, but you know it's there, and you are terrified to let go of it.
Yeah.
At least right now. So Nassima is going to break down for us the components of letting go, because, you know, Armand used to have a word, gitnip. Gitnip. Good in theory, not in practice.
Right.
So we are asking people, can they let go? And yesterday we had 9 callers telling us, yes, I'm ready to let go. We want to know, what are you afraid of letting go?
And for our new listeners, Nassima is one of our associates here at the Positive Mind Center. She also teaches at the Swedish Institute for Massage Therapy downtown. And Nassima, you talked about a strategy, a multifaceted, multi-step process that allows people to let go. Tell us a little more about that now that we're on the air.
Yeah, it starts a process. It helps people who may be experiencing fear of letting something go, or can also help a process if you're even ready to let go, because there can be a lot of unseen or unknown things that can come up when you do start to let go of something that you've been holding on to for a while. And I teach this in a class on polarity therapy, and it's always a really rich class because I ask the students to sort of participate as I'm teaching them these steps with something of their own, you know, life.
So I have to jump in. What does this have to do with massage therapy, the Swedish Institute of Massage Therapy?
Well, you know, you think massage is just about come in and I'll just, you know, massage your muscles, but there's a human being, you know, inhabiting those muscles.
Right.
And it's important for us as people who are working in the sort of health and healing profession to understand the process of healing or the process of change or how somebody can come through changing.
And the link that we like to talk about here on The Positive Mind, the constant link between your physical, mental,
Absolutely.
And emotional health.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna explore that a little bit as I go through these steps, because it's really distinct.
So in polarity therapy, you ask clients questions that help them to let go even more. Is that
potentially
part of it?
But the focus of polarity therapy is to help people come to more awareness about themselves, and what they may become aware of is what they're holding on to.
Great.
Or what's blocking them.
Great.
Yeah. So
okay.
This can help them through it. So the four steps in brief are awareness, responsibility, trust, and integration.
Starting with awareness, though, which is great, because one of our callers yesterday, Mark, had mentioned how you can't let go of anything when you don't have the awareness around it.
Exactly.
So that is so important to start with step one.
Yeah, because if you're not aware, it feels like that thing is holding on to you. That thing is controlling you, whatever it is.
Whether it's like a resentment or an addiction.
Exactly.
Or a difficulty.
Or depression.
Exactly. Yes, all these things. And it can be so hard to separate, to unmask that, and to actually see it for what it is, that it's actually something that you're participating in somehow.
And voluntarily.
Yeah.
Or unconsciously.
Well, unconsciously, usually.
Yeah.
So it's
okay.
Really very interesting. And like I've been saying, you need the awareness that you're holding on to something. And like this caller about the grudge with her boss, she realized it was exhausting her.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you hold on to something mentally, emotionally, you hold on to it physically. Your muscles are tense with it. They are physically holding that thing with you.
Right.
You know, with your mind, your thoughts, anything. It's all being held in the bones, the organs, the muscles. It can manifest as tension. It can manifest as exhaustion. It can manifest as disease.
So for you, a question is, what are you feeling in your body is really an appropriate question.
It is
you know,
a really
sometimes
appropriate
I ask
question.
That as a psychotherapist. And
yeah.
People are like, why are you asking me about my body?
Yeah, because it's like they're so deeply linked.
Okay.
So when you become aware of it, then you have the chance to start to see it and to ask this is a very important question to ask. What is the price I pay for holding on to this?
Uh-huh.
So she realized it was the deep exhaustion she's been feeling.
Right.
And she realized it was linked to that, to holding on to that. That sounds like a really big thing she was holding on to.
Yeah.
And it is exhausting, physically exhausting, mentally, emotionally exhausting. Mm. So that's a price that you're paying in your life. You might not be doing other things because you're too exhausted because of that. And then, you know, if there's a weight issue, if you're life limited, if, you know, all these things can play into this, you know, this holding.
That's a great question, though. We didn't think of that. Like, what is your not letting go of holding you back from?
Yeah.
What are the possibilities? Yesterday we did talk about things opening up. If I let go of this, what will open up for me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what is your holding on or not letting go preventing you from doing?
Yeah.
So awareness is the start.
Is the start. And
then
this
what
is
happens?
An awareness question, you know.
Yeah.
That now, when you realize the price that you're paying,
okay,
you can make a choice. You actually have an opportunity now. You've sort of stepped away. You've got an awareness that you maybe have like a couple inches distance between you and it. And now you can say, oh,
yeah.
If I can, you know, say, look, I'm somehow, okay, well, let me back up a second.
Go ahead.
You have a little bit of space with the awareness. You know the price you're paying. Now you have to say a very hard sentence. I somehow have created, allowed, you know,
chosen
this to be in my life.
Right.
And that's the step of responsibility. And that's a really hard step because a lot of people, this has actually been a resource for you on some level. And it's something that you've been allowed to blame for how your life is. And it can be hard to let go of that and to know that I'm somehow participating in this. I'm causing it to happen. It's not holding me. I'm holding it.
And when you say arguments, you mean bad habits, addictions, resentments.
Yeah.
What else could this be?
Addiction. It can be relationships. Quarrels. Yeah, unhealthy relationships. Things that you just know are dragging you down.
Staying
it's a drag.
In conflict.
It doesn't lift you. It sinks you.
So even with the awareness that a relationship or a situation or a behavior is unhealthy, mm-hmm. people may still be afraid to let go of that. Why?
Because it's somehow serving you as a resource, because you don't have any other resources. And that's the process that sitting with a therapist or a healer or anybody can help you start to develop the resources in order to let go.
And you talk about a good thing here. I mean, because we do this in therapy all the time. Like, what if your depression is a thing and we put it over there in the chair instead of take it out of your body? Let's put it over there and see what that's all about. It's called objectifying the symptom.
Right.
And so now I get to look at it instead of it being in my body sort of hidden from me, that I can decide and look at how I've chosen this, how I hold on to this, how this serves me.
Right.
And whether or not I want to let it go or whether I can function by letting it go.
Yeah. What else is here without that?
Right.
And that's the same with chronic pain.
Yeah.
That's the same with some disease. And when I ask my students these questions, I can get some real anger about it because they feel like, but it's being done to me. It's being done to me. And it's like, actually, you are participating in this somehow. You have some role to play.
Sure.
And even if something maybe was done to you in the past that, you're still holding on to and you feel like it wasn't your fault at all, how you choose to deal with that is where you have empowerment. And it can be very hard to switch that.
Awareness and then responsibility, where you get to recognize how you're choosing this.
Yeah.
And your part in choosing it. And I think everybody who called in yesterday recognized that they were choosing a lot of what they were doing. Even the gentleman who was taking care of his 90-year-old mother, Ron, I think he was.
Right.
You know, he had made that choice, and he's aware that it's bleeding the life out of him.
Yeah.
And that his time is precious at 60-plus years of age. Right. But he's made that choice. So awareness, responsibility.
And the important thing to recognize also within that responsibility component is that though I may have many problems personally, or any individual person may have many problems, some of which might well be out of my control, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I am the constant in every one of those problems.
Yeah.
Okay, I am the common denominator within all of those problems, and that's an important truth that I had to recognize on a personal level.
Right. Yeah, and what happens if I subtract myself from that? Yeah, let go.
So letting go, this theme of letting go, is an opportunity for you to see how much responsibility you're taking for things that are holding you back.
Yeah,
I mean, they're holding you back for a reason. Now, you might be hanging on to them for a reason.
Right, which is important to know.
They're holding you back for a reason.
Yeah.
And so in part of this responsibility-taking process, you show people how they're choosing it, and do you also go into what it's costing them?
Yeah, we can go into that. We can feel that. And we can also feel whether they're ready to let go or not.
Big question.
And that's really important to know. Wait, right now I think I have to keep holding on to this. Because again, this has been my only resource up until now that I've been aware of. So until I become aware of other resources, until I begin to, the next step, trust that I can let go and land on my feet, land softly, land without hurting myself.
I like this,
I can, that's when I'll let go and know that, okay, I'm choosing to hold on to this now.
Right.
Gives you a little bit more power. Again, now, like this gentleman, he has made the choice.
Right.
So he's no longer living in resentment, like, oh, how dare she age and ask for my help. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, she needs me. I'm making this choice. I love her. She helped me when I was young. I'm going to help her now.
Right.
And that really changes the tenor of the conversation and the responsibility between them.
I can't prevent bringing it back to psychotherapy with depression. We used to do this exercise where, yes, we objectify the depression. I'll give a client a pillow and say, okay, here's your depression. Let me have it. And they'll pull back and say, no, I need my depression.
Yeah.
I need this. This is what makes me able to function. And, well, the question is, what is beyond this depression?
Exactly.
What are you afraid of having without this depression? A lot of people say, I'm afraid to get excited. I'm afraid to be optimistic. I'm afraid of all the life that will come flooding into me if I let go of this depression.
Oh, it can be absolutely overwhelming. And they maybe never had developed their nervous system to be able to have the capacity to feel joy and light.
Yes.
And I mean, I know for me personally, when I start to lose weight, it's like kind of hard because I'm not used to being light.
Why
I'm
is
used
that hard?
To being heavy. Well, it's just what I'm used to, and I'm a little uncomfortable.
Hmm.
When I start lightening in my body, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to be so light.
Well, there's something. You might not want to be so attractive to people.
Not
that you're not attractive
that.
Now.
It's a physical feeling of light versus grounded, you know, and like how can I find grounding in lightness?
Yeah.
And that's my journey. You know, I'm just thinking for myself personally how it feels when I start to lighten. It's like it's harder for me to be grounded. And I'm very used and I like to be grounded. Yeah. So, you know, different people, different, you know, things.
Ben,
so.
Can you relate to any of this? I mean, I'm wondering, like, we know that you smoke and have been trying to break smoking. Like, what do you think if you let it go would happen?
You know, it's hard to say, Kevin. I've let it go many times. That's a famous Mark Twain quote. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But I would say this. I think there are a lot of behaviors and attributes that are maybe destructive but are comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's what we're asking listeners today is what is it that you may have the awareness that it's time to let go of, but it's still scary and it's still stressful to think about letting go.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so what is it that gets you uncomfortable thinking about letting go of, even though you know in your heart and in your mind that letting go of this thing is the right thing for you to do, is a productive, beneficial thing to you?
Right.
For many people, you know, they choose to stay in abusive relationships. And others may look at that and say, I don't understand. How could anyone choose that path, choose that life to continue? But yeah. For those who have been in those relationships, it's not so simple.
Yeah, it's like they don't know anything else, and this is it. And it's like if I let go of this, I've got nothing to. Mm. I've got no safety net. I've got nothing to land on. And again, this is why in this step, it's really important to have somebody you're working with because they can start to provide that, can start to mirror that, mirror some aspects of you that you might not be seeing.
Yeah.
And that's help a, you yeah. start to reframe so, sort of what you're feeling.
Awareness, responsibility, what's the next
trust,
thing?
That we're just talking about trust.
We are talking about trust.
And then integration is the final step. And it's a really very messy and hard step because we're often holding on to something as a resource to block us from feeling something else. So something that's also overwhelming.
Yeah.
So having somebody to be with you to help you let go. And to feel all those feelings that maybe you were sort of holding back.
I think you'd probably get surprised in this stage.
You
might be surprised by what comes up. And so it's to have somebody there to integrate it with.
Right.
But I think trust is probably takes the longest in terms of coming to terms
and they,
with letting
go. I think they kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
Like you integrate and you trust a little more. You integrate, you trust a little more. Because trust also is reflected, especially for me as a body worker, is in the breath. If people start to take deep breaths, if they start to, that shows me that they're relaxing. Each sort of deep breath, each sort of
right.
is like a letting go and a trusting
right.
at the same time. And in those deep breaths, sometimes then the emotions come or the memories or whatever it is that we're sort of being held back and you know, put down by whatever it is that we did to resource ourselves to not feel that because it wasn't appropriate or we weren't able to feel it at the time.
Yeah, so I think this dynamic of trusting and integrating, I think you're right. Once you, I've trusted on that aspect, okay, I've integrated that aspect, what's the next thing I need to trust?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the next thing that's holding me back?
Yeah.
And then integrating that and really getting comfortable with all the different
right.
types of emotions that come up in the trusting and integrating stage and going back and forth.
Right.
So,
and physically in the body, you can see this through people who, you know, will relax on the table and then, you know, they get the sense of it. They start to trust the support of the table.
Mm-hmm.
They're sinking into it. And then within a couple of days, if they were to lay back down on that table, they'd be all up and uncomfortable and not trusting again.
Right.
And it's like a constant sort of moving through that. starting to feel okay with the muscles being relaxed, starting to feel okay with being grounded in yourself. But it takes time. You sort of jump in and out,
right.
And you integrate little bits at a time.
Yeah.
And start to get used to that new way of being.
You must get a lot of people who say, wow, I haven't been touched on my upper right shoulder in years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go carefully. Don't, you know, I'm not sure I want you to even touch that spot.
Right.
And, you know, that's a physical representation of what we're talking about, that
I'm
you can work with that area. And they trust
want...
you to do
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
They integrate that, okay, it's okay to expose this to another human being.
Yeah,
and then they get flooded with all the feelings of a place that hasn't been touched in years.
Yeah, could be. Or we could step into it, you know, little by
right.
little, you know, so it's not a full flood, but, you know, it just can be an easy thing. So it's, and also trust is the really important aspect of, if you are afraid of letting go of something, how can you start to build the trust? And I think this process can help people start to piece out what's happening here.
Yeah.
You know, and as you start to go through awareness and responsibility and choice and, you know, those things, you start to see the landscape a little bit more clearly, and you can start to choose where you want to go and how
so
you want to.
So I have a mnemonic, an
A-R-T-I.
You're just shy of being an artist.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
you practice this.
Exactly.
Awareness, responsibility, trust, and
integration.
So we want to take calls today. We
yeah.
want to do... like yesterday, because we learned so much. I mean,
right.
when that gentleman was talking about being 60-plus years old, taking care of his elderly parent, I learned from him.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was great. So we want to put that out to people today. What is it you're afraid to let go of?
Right. And maybe we can help you through it a little bit. You know, explore some of these aspects and see where the sticking points
ben,
are.
Ben, what's the number?
You are... able to reach us here in the studio at 212-757-5555. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We're talking about letting go again today, but we're talking about it in a bit of a different light. We're asking you, what are you afraid to let go of? So give us a call with that in mind if you're ready to share that. We'd love to hear from some new callers. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. Again, we're asking you, our listeners, to let us know, what is it that you're afraid to let go of, and why? So let us know. And again, that number is 212-757-5555. We have Lewis on the line. Hello, Lewis.
Hey,
Lewis.
Good afternoon. You know, I really love your show, and thanks for carrying the mantle after Armand. And it means a lot to a lot of listeners, I'm sure.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You afraid? Do you have fear of letting go of something?
Yeah, you know, I have something really poignant. My mom passed this past summer, and I actually returned home to the East Coast to care for her before she passed. Uh-huh. And I even had a disabled sister. Uh-huh. I was caring for two people.
Wow.
It's moved on from there. My mom passed, but there's still a lot of dysfunction in my family, and I'm caught up in the dysfunction and trying to do the detach with love rather than the detach with the axe. And on a daily basis, it is a struggle, and I seem to be getting closer, but I'm fearful of the regret of because I seem to be the one stepping up, but to let go, I feel like in certain ways, I know I'm abandoning some other family members, but I do realize I have to take care of myself, and this has not been good for me and my health, et cetera. So that's sort of where I'm at. It's how do you let go in that, especially in the grieving time?
Well, you're aware. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're very aware, Lewis. And have you been caught in this caretaking role, you know, for a long, long time?
Well, no. It was about a year ago, October. I was settled on the West Coast working, and my mom asked me to come home. She made the plea, and because I had flexibility with my work situation.
Okay.
So it's been a year plus, but around that I've been around.
What are you missing for you? I mean, what's something new for you that what do you imagine could open up for you if you just sort of let the rest of this go? You did your duty. You did, you know, what was expected and what you demanded of yourself. What new thing could open up for you, do you think?
You know, it's funny. When you get out of your head, and I'm in my, you know, a lot of this is being in your head, but it's fearful because people react. And so I'm on my, I've done a lot of work in not responding to the reacting.
Right,
and
right.
Staying in the good place. But what I do know is I'm when I am focused on myself and when I reflect on or when I look forward, I realize when I focus on myself and I carry on with my life, I take care of myself and I do good things and I go easy on myself. Mm. So what I've really, that's without running, you know, it's real important to realize you're not running.
Yes.
It's more like going forward and knowing what's best for me, yeah, and doing it in a loving way rather than an abusive way towards myself.
I got it.
Right.
I got it.
And also important for you to integrate or to feel those feelings of resentment or duty or, you know, how that feels and let them be, you know, it's like if you can talk to somebody else about it, it might help that process of letting go without regret. So that you can really let go from a love, which isn't necessarily in blame for other people, but just noticing what your, you know, what your level of participation is and how you feel about that.
Love it. Just sounds one
great.
Last
Thank
thing,
you.
Lewis. How are you with trusting?
You know, that's the thing. I'm a vulnerable, trusting guy. Even though I've been burnt many times, it's one of the things on a daily basis I say to myself, remained trusting. But it does bring up some fear with certain people.
Yes, I can imagine. I think that you're like really aware of yourself and know your own process and what you have to deal with for yourself. I'm just, just questioning, like, how does this guy let go with other people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my only question for Lewis. So, look, we appreciate you calling in. And
thank you, Lewis.
Wow, thanks for the
keep
feedback.
Calling. Thanks
beautiful.
Thanks for the compliment.
Thank you.
Have
okay.
a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lewis. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're asking our listeners out there, what is it that you know you need to let go of, but scares you? The idea of letting go of it scares you. And we're asking you to be courageous enough and vulnerable enough to give us a call and tell the world that on the air. So
yeah, it's not easy.
212-757-5555.
And I didn't know, we didn't get the extent of who he's connected to. But often holding on is a way to stay connected to other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't want to betray or hurt other people. I mean, we didn't get the extent of it, but often holding on is, this is the only way I can be connected.
Right.
So why should I give this up?
Right. Yeah, connection is a hard one because it sounds like he wants to, you know, maintain a relationship with his family, but it might not be the best relationship. So again, feeling those feelings can help you come to a better place in yourself as you're relating to others.
Let's take another call. We have Chuck on the line. Hello, Chuck.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
This may sound materialistic, but it's really not.
Okay.
I'm trying to let go of a house that I own that I lived in for almost 30 years.
Wow, that's not materialistic. That's home.
Yeah.
It's home, and it's identity.
Yeah. So say more about this. How hard is this?
It's really difficult. I've been going through it for about a year and a half. You know, from a financial standpoint, it's getting really difficult to maintain the place, you know.
Paying
mortgage payments and taxes and things like that. But,
right.
My son grew up in the house. You know, I went through a divorce in the house.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of emotional stuff there. You know, I've done a lot of renovations on the place myself.
Wow. Yeah, this is your life, right?
Yeah, it's my life. And, you know, so many life events have occurred in this place. And, you know, I've been meditating a lot, you know, doing my breath meditation and some yoga and things, trying to just get to a place where I'm more comfortable letting go. But I'm afraid, what will happen? Where am I going to go? All those kinds of things are associated with it, you know?
Sure. Have you ever fallen backwards and let somebody catch you?
I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, you know, I think you could practice this one.
Yeah.
Practice falling backwards, you know? I mean, this is a big thing to let go of. This is not materialistic at all. This is an attachment to you. I get it. So, Nassima wants to say something.
Yeah, it also sounds like you don't have a plan for where you're going to go next. So that's also part of building that resource that you want to be sort of excited about moving to the next place.
Yeah.
So yeah. It might be important for you to start looking at other places, you know, or start dreaming about what your next home could be.
Yeah, that's great advice.
You know?
The other part of it is, other parts of my identity letting go, you know, like it'd be a real change in my whole lifestyle.
It's a very challenging thing, especially if you've been in that same home for 30 years, Chuck. I want to thank you for giving us the time. We are up against the break, but thank you, Chuck, for calling in.
Thanks,
Chuck. And we're still going to be taking
appreciate you taking the call and great advice.
Anytime, Chuck. Thanks, take care. Chuck. The number to call, 212-757-5555. We're asking you out there, what is it that you need to let go of, but that scares you? And it can be a tough thing to talk about with anyone, let alone, you know, speaking about it publicly on the air. But give us a call, 212-757-5555. We'll be back shortly after this. Guaraldi here on WBAI. It's Linus and Lucy, and you're listening to The Positive Mind. We're talking about letting go, things you might be scared to let go of, and we're taking your calls at 212-757-5555.
We have Ronald on the phone.
Hello, Ronald.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ronald.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The idea is that it's very possible that there's nothing that you won't let go of. Because you already have the perception that it's something that doesn't sit well with you. If you could do something else, your problem and your depression come from the fact, not that you don't want to let go of the depression, but that your depression comes from the fact that you don't perceive or your physical reality transmits to your mind that you can't do nothing.
That's
else
beautiful.
Without feeling uncomfortable.
Ronald, we're going to take you off the air and thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
Be
you.
Be well. Bye-bye. Beautiful, beautiful insight. Absolutely, and that's what kind of depression does. It sort of limits your vision. It's like wearing sunglasses.
And fear
inside,
as well.
You know, in a church, you can't see.
Yeah.
And so he's talking about something really important, that you can't see your next move. You can't see what you're so embroiled in it.
Yeah, exactly. So the important, you know, becoming aware and opening up the space, you have a chance to make some choices and think of something different.
Yeah. Say more about the integration part again. What is this integration?
It's really about feeling your feelings, you know, that are all tied up in that holding on. So like for the fellow with the house, he might need to feel more feelings about it. You know, that it's something big to let go of. So it can be really difficult to go through the integration process.
212-757-555.
We just lost Joyce. Joyce, give us a call back. We just lost you. But that would be, I would see as a drama of my house, 30 years of my life, because I'm not just letting go of my house. I'm letting go of all the people in it, all the experiences I had in it.
Yeah,
and all the sadness and all the happiness and all the parties and all the emotions and everything that goes into it. So,
You know, but that can all be taken with you into the new place. So it's important to know, you know, what the feelings are, so that you can let them go.
Joyce, we got you back.
Well,
good to have you. Thanks for calling back. How are you?
Well, kind of, you know, iffy. The problem is this.
Can you turn your radio down, Joyce? You have the radio on in the background?
Yeah.
Just turn it off for us.
Turn it off. Okay.
Can you turn your radio down?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll do that right now. Turn it off. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead.
So, okay. The problem is this. In November of 2010, you know, a drunk driver killed my two older sisters.
Horrible.
And, you know, it's been 7 years.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, you know, seem to let go of that. But that's not the thing. The thing is my older sister, you know, she had a house in Florida, which I am, like, you know, kind of taking care of right now. The thing is, you know, it's costing me a lot of money to maintain and whatever. I mean, it's rented, you know, the mortgage is being paid, but that's about it, because she had just bought it. She has, her mortgage on it. And, you know, from time to time, there's something to fix. And, you know, it's a financial drain on me.
Yeah. Right.
I was, there are, other...
Do you have any help with this, Joyce? Do you have Do you have any help with this? Are you in this on your own?
Yes. You know, the reason why is I am the one who told them to keep the house.
Okay.
And, right now...
So it's all up to you. You get to make the decisions.
The thing is, if I tell them, I don't even want to tell them, I want to sell. Because it looks like, I don't want people to think I am, appropriating the house, because we are, four others left, and they all inherit, because my sister, had no children.
Okay.
And...
So it sounds letting go of the house.
Whatever I do, they will agree. But I feel like if I sell the house, it's how do you say that? Betraying my sister, because she loved that house so much.
Yeah.
Right.
She invested in it. That was a baby.
Yeah.
You know.
So you'll lose contact with your sister if you give up this house.
That's exactly.
That's what you're really facing. It's not the house or the
expenses. No, it's not the house. I would get rid of the last, memory.
Yes, it's losing contact. And as the gentleman who called before, Chuck, 30 years in a house, he's not talking about deaths and people that he loved and ones that died in a horrific accident. But, you know, so this could be, I can see how this could be really hard to let go of. You're someone who is just ripe, Joyce, for handling this with somebody else. To find out, what are you holding on to besides your sisters with this house? Because there's something else there also. And we need to spend time talking about it.
Like?
So I know you're not going to have an answer, but look, I hear that you. I hear that you're lovely and preserving their memory.
There's guilt also.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of feelings around the whole experience. So it would be important to have some help in it, and you know, to move through it and be able to finally let this go.
Are you in New York? Are you living in New York?
I'm in New York.
Yeah. So you can give me a call or somebody here at the center. Because this is a heavy load to bear.
But I hear
that you're handling it as gracefully as you can now. And if you ever need to call us here, you can call us. We'll tell you the number at the end of the show.
Okay.
All right, Joyce. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for listening.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about letting go again today, but in terms of things that scare you to let go of, things that seem almost impossible to let go, things that stress you out when you think about letting go of them. And today we've heard from some people who are, you know,
hurting
and having trouble letting go of a house, which represents so much more than a dwelling,
so much more
than a piece of real estate. You know, a house, there's a whole life in a house and many lives in a house.
Right.
So wherever there's fear, also there's hurt. You know, you're afraid for a reason. Your fear is protecting this hurt. And I wonder, like for Joyce, you know, she sounds, you know, so loving.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder about the extent of her exposing that hurt. Is that something you would do, Nasima?
I could. It's something that's really, again, about sort of feeling those hurt feelings.
Yeah.
But then, you know, what comes after that? You know, it's like maybe this sense of, you know, what's sort of bound up in that house can be set free.
Right.
And that can open up a whole lot more possibilities for everyone involved.
Yeah.
So it's like starting to feel that start to shift and open and crack a little bit where the light comes in and start paying attention to that. You know, it's like, but there's going to be a lot of feelings around it. It's a really charged situation.
Yeah.
So little by little, starting to sense, well, what would it be like if we let this go? What else could happen?
And it sounds also like she needs somebody who can also encourage her that it's okay to let go.
Yeah.
You know, I think also people will hold on to the pain because, as she said, there's a lot of guilt associated with it. And to be with somebody who says, okay, the guilt is okay. There's something else beyond the guilt.
Yeah, the guilt's covering up something.
You know, the guilt makes sense. It's an act of love. You're loving by your guilt.
Right.
But there's more of you than this.
And you know, when you talked about fear, Kevin, you reminded me of this.
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Right?
Yeah.
Famous Yoda quote.
Famous Yoda quote.
Yeah, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
And they're all a lie.
It may just be a movie, but it is very true.
Right. And they're all an illusion, though. I think the fear is the real thing. Yeah. You know, and we can let ourselves get angry because anger is much more comfortable than fear.
Yeah.
And rage is much, and hate is so much easier than fear. And what's underneath the fear? The fear is, I don't want to trust that there's anything beyond this. That's why my fear is holding me back from something else. I don't want to go there.
Right.
And, or guilt. Can you do that again? I never heard that.
You never heard that?
No.
It's great. Well, you didn't watch Star Wars.
No, I missed
that. Here goes again. Check it out.
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Yeah.
You know, if Armand was 3 feet tall and green, he would be basically Yoda. I mean, it's uncanny. 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555 is the number to call. What are you afraid to give up? What are you afraid of letting go of? That's what we're asking you today.
So I do an exercise with my clients sometimes. It's really very powerful. It's called holding the rope.
Right.
And I did it with a client recently who was having some trouble, you know, wanting to, you know, let go of her desire for her mother to be different than she was. And in a way, I can apply this to Joyce or anyone who's like wanting a situation to be different than it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there still might be in holding onto that house, wanting her sisters to still be alive.
Sure.
So the holding of the rope is a really interesting, you know, I'll hold one side, the client will hold the other. And we'll just go through a brief process, a simple process of like, how does it feel to be holding the rope? How much tension is there? How much energy are you putting into holding this? And then what does it feel like to slowly release the hold on the rope? And it can be very powerful. And you can also begin to reveal some new things through that exercise.
We have Tony on the phone.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, Tony.
I'm just listening to your show.
Great.
I'm a Jersey Shore person.
Okay.
Where are you picking us up from, Tony?
I'm like right now near Atlantic Highlands. You could probably see New York. It's about 15 miles away.
Oh, okay.
Great.
I know that we come in as far as south as Toms River.
Oh wow, yeah, that's way south.
Yeah.
So tell us how does this resonate with you today?
Well, no, I was just listening to your show. It seems like it's like a lightning bolt. I was the Sandy victim. I got my house. You know, pretty much I lost everything because it was a ranch.
Right.
Wow. Oh,
so the water went up, and then, you know, there's grant meetings, and you got to borrow money and all that
constant
stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm dealing with it 3-4 years later where, you know, I had like a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Sure.
And
sure.
I haven't worked in 2 years, so I'm basically, I have a choice now. I can either sell it or I could try to rent it, you know?
Sure.
And
but not living it.
Really, you know, every day I have like post-traumatic stress disorder, you know?
Yeah, it sounds
yeah,
like
a lot of people who went through Sandy do.
Right.
Yeah, if you don't know what it is, it's like just picture like seeing something that terrifies you and panics you.
Yeah.
Right.
Like a loved one getting killed, and like that's what you feel all day.
So you must not trust at all at this stage in your life. I mean...
Well, big time. The girl I was with left... in the middle of everything.
Right.
And she had a miscarriage, too. So it was like, you know, just a lot of bad things happened to me.
Right.
And I'm trying to be positive about it. I go talk to somebody every week.
Good.
There's like a Sandy relief program, which is really great.
Yeah, sure.
And
you get to hear other people's stories, too, right?
Yeah, and I just wonder if you guys have any questions for me or I wanted to hear your insight.
Yeah.
You said fear. Yeah, I'm fearing that this part of this house is like, it's part of me, you know?
Has anything opened up for you in this process? Because, you know, you sound like there's a clamp on your heart or there's a clamp on your awareness. And that's expected with PTSD, you know? But, you know, somewhere in the midst of that and in the midst of your talking this through with somebody, there should be and there will be an opening. And something fresh and new will come in. I'm not sure anything has happened yet for you, but has it? Has anything fresh and new occurred to you?
Well, the doctor thinks, like, it's more than just the PTSD. I have really bad neck and back problems.
Okay.
So I went out for the neck and back and for the psych, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Because the back and neck kind of caused the psych. Because I couldn't work anymore. My back and neck were, like, destroyed.
Let Nassima chime in a little bit.
And that was a direct result of Sandy, the back and neck?
No, not really. Oh, that's just from an incident when I was a kid.
Okay.
It just all kind of clamored.
Right.
Yeah.
All these things happened at once. And losing the house for me is just, it's devastating.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Often with PTSD, there are genetic and predisposed vulnerabilities. So, you know, maybe your neck and back... the exhaustion or the frustration or the disappointment and all these other things that dealing with that can set the stage often for
I agree with that.
A traumatic response to you know, something catastrophic.
Right.
So I just want you to be on the lookout, Tony, and you can call us anytime. We'd love you to keep calling. Be on the lookout for an opening, and you'll know it when you see it. Because it will happen.
Yeah, you know, my doctor says the same thing. What we have to do is get through all of the things.
Yeah.
That, like, there's a lawsuit with an insurance company.
Yeah, and I would say you probably have some. You probably have a lot of anger in there too. So
every day is just everything goes through your mind the same thing. You know, I'm going to lose the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Blah blah blah.
Okay, well, listen.
So you just try to deal with it the best you can. You
thank you for calling. This is a perfect call for us and for our listeners. So we appreciate you calling, Tony.
Yeah,
thanks,
Tony. Somebody can learn something or know about.
You bet they will.
PTSD anyway, you know.
Sure. Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Take care.
Bye bye.
You too.
Thank you, Tony. 212-757-5555. I think we got time for one or two more calls. So we'd love to hear from you out there. We're asking people what you're afraid to let go of. We talked about things that you might have been ready for letting go of. You might have been excited and prepared to let go of yesterday. Today we're looking at the other side of that. You know, something you know you need to let go of, but it's difficult. It's scary. And so far we've had, it seemed the theme yesterday was we had a lot of people call in about caring for their elderly parents.
Yeah.
And today there are a lot of people calling in talking about houses and letting go of a place that's really so much more than a place. Right. When you think about what happens, a whole life takes place in a house. So letting go of a house is much more than letting go of a piece of property or a piece of real estate. It's really, you know, there's a complicated backstory of memories and emotions and life events that it really feels like are part and parcel of the house itself.
Right. And in a way, we can feel like the house is an extension of us physically and emotionally and mentally. And, you know, a lot of people somaticize their homes, and like letting go of the home is like letting go of a part of themselves. And until you sort of feel that and feel yourself full, then it will be easier to let go of these things that represent.
We have Marcy on the line.
Hello, Marcy.
Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
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 There you are.
Oh, I'm on?
Yes,
tell us your
name. Radio.
Tell us your name.
Yes, I'm Rosie O.
Rosie. Hi, Rosie.
Yeah, I say that.
Go ahead.
My name is Rose, and I know some people that listen to you, which I wish another 2 or 5 or 100,000 would.
Okay.
Well, you tell all
the radio in general and your station and you guys.
Thank you so much.
I tell you, this is the U.S. of A. now, anxiety.
Yeah, and U.S. of anxiety.
What I have to do is when I don't, when I'm not on, this is, I'm 93 and one half.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I hear stuff on BAI that, Jesus, no, what's wrong with Washington? Nobody, none of those reporters, you know, they wouldn't dare if they knew, but they had this guy on this morning, and I shouldn't be afraid to let go. I'm ready to go.
Oh,
but
wow.
I don't want to go off with a bomb and you know.
Oh,
you let go on your own terms.
Oh, and incidentally, I loved Armand.
Yes.
Armand used to call me Rosie.
Rosie,
so
I'm going to call
actually
you Rosie.
Rose is my name, but I started calling, and some people used to call me as I was growing up, Rosella, my sister.
Okay.
She died in 2008. I've missed her. I never had another one. I would have liked to have had a brother or another sister, because it's always like three, but my dad and my mom, you know, were struggling. They came from Italy. So I'm just saying I understand what you guys are saying.
I hear.
But I'm trying to tell this guy, do you know Buddhists where they can go and listen to lectures and it doesn't cost too much?
Yes, yes.
Buddhist place, because he seems to like Buddhism.
Well, you can go to a few websites. Do you know about the websites?
I don't have the web.
Insight Meditation? Would be one. There's also one up in Massachusetts.
We're in New York. I mean,
No. But I mean, you can get it on the internet. I'm trying to think of that. Just type in.
We don't have an internet. In the city of Scaffolding City, I call it now.
Scaffolding City. Yes, you're right.
The others listening. Every time I go up, I'm to my doctor for the eyes. I don't see anything anymore.
Scaffolding. Yeah, it's all scaffold. No sky anymore.
I can't see
anymore.
What they're fixing.
Rosie, listen, we don't want you to let go just yet, okay? Call in.
Yeah, inside. In other words, some place like, you know, AA, but he suffers from keeping everything inside. And I've told him so much of my life. He's older than I am. I mean, I'm older than he is.
Okay.
But when we first started to be friends, if you want to call it that, whatever, just I was always open to talking about Bleecker Street and how it was with the push cart.
Oh, wow.
I was able to talk about the village when it wasn't $1,000 a minute. You know what I'm saying?
And the great pizza parlors down there.
They used to be called John's Pizza Parlor.
That's right.
Yeah,
John's,
you know,
is still there.
A great meat place, Otto Manelli. He had four sons.
Oh, sure, yes. He loved that place.
That's another famous place. And now on my, where I live at Bank, over here we got this guy, Jacobs. He's got like three stores on Bleecker, clothing stores. Okay. He's got one down here on the corner.
It's funny.
Bank. He's a rich guy. You know?
Sure, he should send you a whole pie.
You
bring up a great thing, because New Yorkers have to let go of their old New York.
Yeah, do you know how much a house opposite me? I'm in here because I have no money. You understand? Unless they throw me out.
So long as you're in the Big Apple.
But you know what they cost? $349,000 and change, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
Hold it. Let me write down that address. I want to buy that one.
You win the lotto.
They're a lot more expensive.
I want to just know, you said, like a place, I'm thinking, he has the Buddhists, but what he should be able to do is get out there and try to open and speak with people, and then get it out, you know.
Yes.
I told him I've been to this kind of therapy. I enjoy going, and I told him about how I love Armand DeMille.
Tell him to listen to us. Tell him to call us up, Rosie.
So the best thing is like maybe get someone who has an internet, right? And they can look up.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Rose, thank you so much for calling us today.
Yeah,
it's great to hear from you.
And so you're on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah. Tuesdays, Wednesdays.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but it was great.
Okay,
it was
good
to hear from you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to
you, too.
Thank you, Rosie. Happy
New Year. And keep listening.
I love BAI.
But we love you too, Rosie. Take
care. Yes, because try to get to the truth as best they can.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Rosie, and to all of our callers today who called in. We will be back on Tuesday, 1 p.m. And remember, you can always send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. And you can reach us here at the center, 212-757-4488.
And we have Brenda Shoshana coming on for Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
Yeah, we got a great guest, so don't miss it. Tuesday and Wednesday at 1. Take care.
Watch the master plan, pack the spare to the streets, flip the beat, move the sheep like the shepherd. It's a new day, my crew stay forever striving. Give thanks to be alive and been through the gutter, now we see the horizon. It's clear to me now, used to be confused, took a lot of years to see how. Now, we moving planets, take the average mind and expand it. Take it granted, like we always gonna be disadvantaged. But soon come, it's soon come, you're soon done.